It is indeed Super Bowl Sunday, and we're here live from Grays Lake, Illinois, prepared to broadcast the Super Bowl sermon. I'm David Wells, and I'll be your host for today's message. Usually I'm joined by Lou Villarce. You may have heard in the announcements that Lou is on special assignment today in Michigan, covering the birth of his first grandchild. Let's give it up for Lou. Now that's a bigger story than any Super Bowl, but we're here today to listen to the Super Sermon. So without any ado, let's get to it. It's a balmy 68 degrees in the sanctuary. The choir is in rare form. And it appears that Greg Bostrom will be our pastor this morning.
And the scripture this morning comes from Paul's first letter to Timothy. Paul, of course, was a friend and mentor to this young man, and so
the hometown fans had hoped it would be the first string pastor, Kathy Bostrom, in the pulpit for today's super sermon, or perhaps the more experienced Greg Dana. Some of the faith writers that follow the Wildwood Presbyterian churches even thought that the assignment might go to Lori Leiter, the young preacher from San Francisco Theological Seminary, but their hopes were dashed when Lori signed with the Loveland, Colorado franchise. So the Wildwood team is stuck with the aging veteran Bostrom. Everyone agrees he's the lesser half of the preacher team that Wildwood has had for two decades. That means we'll probably be hearing the same old tired stuff we hear every Sunday. It looks like he's ready to read the scripture. Let's listen in.
Yeah, let's. From the sixth chapter of Paul's letter, we read these words for how to live the good life. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, faith fans, we'll be listening for the sermon's first move.
It's the high holy day of the year, when people all over our nation will gather in the most comfortable, well-adorned room of their homes, looking toward the altar, the holy place, the sacred space of their home, the space to which they give more attention every day than the food they eat or even the people they love. Yes, they'll be staring at the sacred space occupied by the television set for hours, watching even more than usual today because it's Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, when worship is led by men in acrylic hats and tight white pants, whose exploits we praise and sometimes even pray for. We give our highest allegiance to the efforts of these sacred men who are trying to move a leather spheroid by force into a 10-yard rectangle of artificial grass, or to kick said spheroid between two fiberglass uprights rising upwards from a crossbar. Now, the video record of their efforts will be telecast around the world to hundreds of millions of people, and those people will find great significance in the deeds of these men, which are actually quite random and otherwise uniquely unproductive. Thousands of men spend hours and hours of their lives hoping to be part of the high holy day of Super Bowl Sunday. And most of us men in this sanctuary today fantasized at some point in our lives about performing in the Super Bowl before our physical limitations that were so readily apparent to others became clear even to ourselves. So beyond entertainment, what lesson might we learn from this Super Bowl experience? Beyond amusement, what benefit might we learn? Beyond an evening's diversion, what purpose might we acquire? What profit might we achieve? Well, I'll tell you. The men who play in this game have dedicated their whole lives, their total energy, their complete effort to achieving success on the football field. And today they're being rewarded by playing in the Super Bowl. Their whole life is football. And what I'm suggesting to you this morning is that you too can devote your whole life to living a super life. All your energy, all your efforts can be directed toward living a super life. And we'll be talking about the three keys to doing just that.
Greg, we're going to need to break for station identification.
What? Seriously? I'm just getting into the heart of the sermon here.
Yes, you're watching the Super Bowl on WBC, the Wildwood Broadcasting Corporation.
You're not going to be interrupting me again, are you?
We're just getting started. You don't think people come to hear you this morning, do you?
Well, yeah, I guess I sort of do. Why else would they come?
Come on, Greg. Do you think the people watch the Super Bowl actually for the game? Of course not. People watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, of course. They watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. And that's why they've come to church today, Greg. Did you see how they're all ready to sign up for the marriage seminars and the coin offering? It's not because of your lame-o announcements. Did you see the commercials, how great they were? And the welcome. People haven't felt this welcome in years. Maybe you should start spitting up milk or something. Anyway, I guess you better get on with your sermon because probably somebody somewhere wants to hear it.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much. Well, as I was saying, I want to share with you three keys to living a super life. And I don't mean passing and kicking and running. I'm talking about reaching up and reaching in and reaching out.
And this is a perfect time for a message about reaching for a cold one. Oh, no, we can't do those commercials here.
I'm just going to ignore that. There are three vital relationships in the super life. There's our relationship with others, there's our relationship with ourselves, and there's our relationship with God. And let's start there. Let's start there. We don't belong to ourselves. It's God who made us. We belong to God. And so we need to be connected to God if we're going to thrive in this world, if we're going to live a super life. Way back in the 17th century, the mathematician Blaise Pascal wrote that there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print, the empty space. And this he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, though none can help, since this infinite abyss can only be filled with an infinite object. In other words, with God himself. Augustine said it more simply, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God." But you know, sometimes it takes a difficult experience, a challenging time, and then it is that we recognize that we need God. In moments of confusion or sorrow or mayhem, then and there we recognize we need something more. We see our need for God.
And it's time for a word from our sponsor.
Again?
Just watch, Greg, just watch.
It's true, Jesus said, in the world you will have trials and tribulations. Amen.
David, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. When mayhem strikes, as it does into every life at one time or another, we reach up and we discover that we are in God's hands. When we reach up for God, we find our hearts are no longer restless. We find our souls come pretty darn close to being content. Now, closely connected to reaching up, of course, is reaching into our own souls. And properly done, this is not a self-centered enterprise in which we focus on satisfying our own cravings and desires, but rather it's a process of discovery, in which we learn who we really are, the person that God has created us to be. You might remember one of the old Saturday Night Live sketches in which John Belushi plays himself as an old man, ironically. And he's visiting a cemetery in a snowstorm, and he's wondering why it is that he has outlived all of his Saturday Night Live cast partners. Cain and Ann, he's wondering why, and he taps their tombstones, and he says, "Why is it? Why is it that I'm the one who's left? Why am I the one who's still here?" And then he puts that mischievous Belushi grin on his face, and he says, "Maybe it's because I'm a dancer." And there he is with his cane in the snow, dancing away. You know, there's something about dancing, about getting in touch with your internal rhythm, that's good for your soul. You don't have to be a good dancer. You know that country song that says, "Dance like there's nobody watching." That's the best way to do it. Dancing is a great metaphor for the spiritual life, for the inward journey, the journey toward the soul. Reaching in to discover the person God has made you to be.
And now we break from the sermon for another program note from the WBC network that we need to insert here.
A program note?
It'll all make a sense in a minute. Just work with me, Greg.
Could have done without that. Nonetheless, living the super life requires us to reach up to the God who made us, to reach into our own soul to discover the person God's called us to be, and then to reach out to others in Christ's name. I mean, you know, the world is a mess. It's full of discouraged, disillusioned, disoriented, dissatisfied, discombobulated, dissed people who are full of despair. Those people need hope. They need someone to reach out to them with hope. And who else but God's people are going to do that? Who else indeed? I don't suppose you've got a commercial for that.
Of course we do.
Yeah, I got to admit, at first I thought, I'd like to teach the world to sing, really? I mean, but then I thought, you know, reaching out starts with a song. It starts with a dream, a vision of a better world. That's the first step toward becoming a better world, is dreaming one. It starts with the one-to-one, with the Dalmatian helping the Clydesdale achieve his dream of becoming part of the team of Clydesdales. It, just like all of us have the chance to help someone else achieve their dream. Starts with the one-to-one, pulling a kid out of a well or something like that, because we all have the chance to help someone who's experienced misfortune or disaster. Starts with the one-to-one, with handing a Coke to Mean Joe Green, because all of us have the chance to give a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty, or some food to someone who's hungry, or a kind word to someone who's lonely. But then it moves big picture, because the song's about buying the world some hope. If we don't believe we can build a world without hunger, a world with quality health care for every child, a world where every child has a future, then we never will. So we have to sing about it, because otherwise it'd be a tragedy not to. Because, you know, the world is already so much a better place than it was a generation or two ago, because people dared then to dream of a better world, dared to sing a song like this one. That's what the prophets of the Bible did. That's what Jesus did. They dared to sing a song of a better world and call us to reach out until we make it better. So, reaching out is a vital part of the super life. And to live a super life, we can't just focus on God and ourselves. We need to reach out beyond our circle, to reach out to others too, one-to-one, heart-to-heart, hand-to-hand. So the real question is...
Greg.
Are you going to interrupt me right at the end here? Right at the finish?
Darth Vader's got this one, Greg.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.